Jesus admonishes us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Loving God with our minds suggests that God is not all that crazy about ignorance. Paul calls for the listeners to repent against ignorance. But as we will see, there's more than one kind of ignorance.
That's the Reverend Dr. Doc Hollingsworth, and today he brings you a challenging message of faith called Because God is Not in Favor of Ignorance. I'm Peter Wallace. It's day one.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're delighted to have with us the Reverend Dr. Doc Hollingsworth, Senior Pastor of Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Before accepting the call to Second Ponce nearly 10 years ago, he had an 18-year career with Mercer University, serving at Mercer's McAfee School of Theology as Assistant Dean and Assistant Professor of Leadership. Doc earned his undergraduate and doctoral degrees from Mercer University in Macon, Georgia, and received his Master of Divinity degree from the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Earlier, he served churches in North Carolina and Georgia. Doc, welcome to Day One.
Thanks, Peter.
You were last with us a little over a year ago, and much has happened since then at Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church, for one thing. We've come a long way from the pandemic protocols. What has that meant to your congregation?
We've come a long way from the pandemic protocols, but not from the pandemic realities.
Right.
Our congregation, along with so many others, are still rebounding from attendance patterns that the pandemic created for us. But there's also been a new vitality in the church mm-hmm. when people got to get back together and hug each other again and reconnect after a long absence.
I understand you're keeping track of all the people Second Ponce engages during the week. What's that telling you?
This has been so interesting. We, of course, keep track of how many people are in Sunday school and worship, as most churches do. But increasingly, our parking lot has been full of folks using our community wellness center. We've got the Buckhead Kiwanis meeting here, any number of groups on campus on a given day. And so we decided to just start tracking that mm-hmm. number as well. And we found that Monday through Friday, we hadn't put a very fine point on it quite yet. This is a new project. But we're having between 500 and 600 people a day who are coming in and out of the buildings of this campus, which is just an amazing opportunity for us.
One of the activities Second Ponce is home for is a very active and growing work called Respite Care Atlanta, with support of numerous other churches in the area. Can you bring us up to date with what's happening there?
I'm so proud of this ministry. Our friend George Wirth, who is now retired from First Presbyterian Church, gave the initial leadership to this, and now I think it is 8 congregations along the Peachtree Corridor here in Atlanta have come together, put resources in, put the volunteers to work, and it's a ministry for folks who have cognitive decline,
mm-hmm.
and it's a ministry for them, but more, it's a ministry to the primary caregiver. It gives them 3 or 4 hours in the day where they can go get errands run and that kind of thing. And it has been a wonderful way for the community to come together around a shared need, and we're just fortunate enough to get to host that.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the preschool is growing. Tell us about that.
That's been another fun ministry collaborative. Our next-door neighbors, Christ the King, have a huge and thriving private school, but had no room to expand into a preschool. And with all the room we had, we realized there was an opportunity here. So we merged our preschool with theirs. They took ownership of the preschool, it is housed on our campus. Mm-hmm. So now it is Christ the King Preschool at Second Potts. They continue to grow and thrive, and it's been another good witness to the community, I think, about how ministry partners can come together to serve the community.
Doc, after your recording session with us last year, you took a sabbatical. What did you do and discover during that time?
It was fabulous. I had 2 months sabbatical, 5 weeks of that in Europe. It did all the things sabbatical was supposed to do. I came back rested and ready to go again. It also corresponded to the end of the COVID season. Mm-hmm. I was depleted by all the COVID demands and not getting replenished by ministry. I was shut out from hospitals and lunches and the things that are energizing mm-hmm. for me. Mm-hmm. And so I was really depleted at the beginning of that sabbatical season. And it just did its magic. Melissa and I had never been to Europe. Mm-hmm. I got to do so many things I had dreamed of. But more than anything, I came back ready to go again and ready to jump back into ministry.
Well, your sermon for this sixth Sunday of Easter focuses on the reading from Acts chapter 17 with Paul's clever speech to the Athenians. Would you read it for us?
Gladly. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, He who is the Lord of heaven and earth does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for Him and find Him, though indeed He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we too are His offspring.' Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now He commands all people everywhere to repent, because He has fixed a day on which He will have the world judged by a man whom He has appointed, and of this He has given assurance to all by raising Him from the dead."
Paul here makes the case for God in a secular context. I'm wondering, Doc, what struck you from this text as you prepared your sermon?
Well, I was struck by the audience that you're talking about, a secular audience already enamored by intellectual pursuits, and yet Paul says they're ignorant. And it was the contrast of that, this highly educated, intellectually sophisticated audience being called ignorant was a speed bump for me, a contrast that I felt like was worth digging into for the sermon.
Mm-hmm. Well, your message is titled, "Because God is Not in Favor of Ignorance." Doc, thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
This is Peter Wallace. In this holy season of Easter, we celebrate with you the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Day One exists to proclaim this hope every week, on the radio, by podcast, and online. After 78 years of faithful weekly broadcasts, Day One is facing new opportunities and new challenges, with hope for a bright future. But we need your support to bring this future to light. So I'm asking for your generous donation to ensure that Day One continues to fulfill its mission. Please mail your gift to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Or call us at 404-815-9110. Or give securely online at dayone.org. Thank you, and may God bless you.
Not every churchgoer has circled today on the calendar because it is the sixth Sunday of Easter in the liturgical year. What's likely highlighted on the family calendar hanging on the pantry door is all the graduations you are scheduled to attend this month. Since today's scripture includes the Apostle Paul's call for repentance of human ignorance, perhaps this is one of those times when our liturgical calendar accidentally lines up with our personal ones. I am a pastor in the Baptist tradition, and sadly, some of my tribe hold up ignorance as an ideal. In fact, my alma mater, Mercer University, started as a school to educate for the ministry because there was so much ignorance in the Baptist pulpit of the South. Jesse Mercer famously said, "Lord, save us from an uneducated clergy." Still, there is a strain of anti-intellectualism alive and well in Baptist life and beyond. Some Christians think science is the enemy of faith and that learning takes us farther from trust. Before I was a pastor, I worked in theological education, and I encountered more than one student who was warned about seminary by their home pastor. Usually the pastor's advice sounded something like this: "If you go to the seminary, they will confuse you with all kinds of questions, and they'll require you to read liberal books, and before you know it, you will start to lose your faith. All you need in ministry is the Word of God." I do not doubt the sincerity of these pastors. They are products of a different tradition. I just do not agree with them. I trust the Bible too. But every calling is high enough, important enough, to demand our best intellectual preparation. Regardless of her piety, I would not trust a Christian surgeon to take out my spleen if she had not been to med school. Any vocational path demands our best efforts and our most rigorous preparation. Of course, college is not for everybody. A call to be a plumber might mean a rigorous apprenticeship program. Every year, General Motors, AT&T, and IBM each spend more on education and training of their employees than the combined educational budget of all 8 Ivy League universities. I'm just trying to make the case that one of the ways we honor what it means to be made in the image of God is that we push ourselves to offer our very best gifts to bless the world. So, I applaud all of you who are heading off this month to celebrate somebody's educational accomplishment. Clap loudly when the tassel is turned. Jesus admonishes us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Loving God with our minds suggests that God is not all that crazy about ignorance. As I said in our text of Paul's sermon, he calls for the listeners to repent against ignorance. But as we will see, there's more than one kind of ignorance. In our scripture for today, Paul is in Athens, Greece, not Georgia, but still it is something of a university town. He had been preaching in northern Greece, but ran into some trouble there, so he has retreated to Athens, awaiting the arrival of his friends Silas and Timothy. And while he waits, Paul does some preaching and sightseeing. He goes to the synagogue and the marketplace almost daily and preaches the resurrection. He tours the city of Athens, the cultural and intellectual center of the day. He sees all the signs of the Greeks' love of culture and learning and the arts and intellectual pursuits. He notes their special interest in religion. Paul is both impressed and distressed to see how much lavish attention is given to the worship of the Greek gods. There are 12 major gods of the Greek pantheon. I won't do all 12, but you will recognize some if you go to the movies. Zeus, the king of the gods, ruling from Mount Olympus. Poseidon is the god of the sea. Aphrodite, the goddess of love and passion. Hermes, the messenger god of travel and commerce and expensive scarves. I made up the last part. But you see, this vibrant religious tradition created a god to worship and appease for every area of life. Commerce and love and war and travel and all the rest. On Paul's sightseeing tour, the apostle studies every shrine, each idol, each opulent object of worship, and notices that one of the gods is named Agnathos Theos, unknown god. The god of just in case we might have missed something, some god we have not yet honored, there is an altar to an unknown god. As I said, Paul has been hanging out in the market preaching the resurrected Christ, and in this culture of ideas and learning, listeners are intrigued enough with Paul's ideas to invite him to the Areopagus, this rock outcropping just out from town, where court was held and speeches given and debates sponsored. Paul starts his sermon, today's passage, with either flattery or an acknowledgement of how universal the human hunger for worship. Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. He goes on to say that there is no need to worship an unknown god. And Paul presents the good news of the God who made the world and everything in it, He who is the Lord of heaven and earth. He affirms their natural hunger, their search for God, and goes so far to say that they are groping for the divine. Paul assures them that the God they are yearning for is not far away. Then, after the setup, after affirming their hunger for the divine, Paul pivots and tells them they have been ignorant. Keep in mind, Athens is the center of academic achievement. This is Harvard Square, and Paul says, God has so far overlooked your ignorance, but now it is time to repent. He speaks of Christ and then quotes one of their own famous poets, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Your yearning is satisfied in relationship to the one true God. It is not found in gold or silver or stone. Paul is preaching about another kind of ignorance. One kind of ignorance is the belief that education is threatening, that knowledge and higher learning is a threat to faith. But there's another kind of ignorance. The folks gathered in Athens are plenty educated, but still ignorant. Paul preaches that you can spend your life worshiping gold, silver, or stone and live in the ignorance of God's claim and God's love in Christ. Most of the time, when my heart aches for the people I love, it is because they have ignored Paul's sermon in Athens. All the ways I see people worship gods that will not satisfy. My daily commute takes me past so many signs, advertisements, and businesses that are all trying to appeal to our groping for connection, fulfillment, meaning. Some people's groping takes them to ideas and intellectual pursuits, philosophies of meaning. As high as I am on education, it will not fill the hollow place. Still more people try to fill the void by pursuing gold, silver, or stone. Or they buy stone, upgrade to silver, and trade up for gold, thinking somehow the satisfaction is to be found in just one more acquisition, one more accomplishment. There is a different ignorance in believing that you can be smart enough, achieve enough, or acquire enough to satisfy. Paul is preaching to the university crowd, the arts community, the Rotary Club, the accomplished, and telling them that it is time to repent of their ignorance. Knowledge is good, but wisdom is better. Wisdom is the recognition that the groping is over only when we trust in the resurrected one. Wisdom is found in relationship with the risen Christ, not in the gods you are worshiping now. So I've got my graduations to attend this month too. I usually leave these events half satisfied. We rightly celebrate that the crowd wearing tassels has learned enough to be more well-rounded and more employable. But seldom does anyone point out that smarts and finances are not the stuff of fulfillment and abundance. Education is not the final pursuit. Degrees are not the final goal. Paul called on one highly educated crowd to repent of their ignorance. Would you join me in prayer? Oh God, forgive us for all the ways we have pursued things that we thought would satisfy, for all the unknown gods we have chased, and return us to your love, where we find our rest and our hope and our wisdom in you. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to the Reverend Dr. Doc Hollingsworth, Senior Pastor of Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. For a free transcript of his sermon titled Because God is Not in Favor of Ignorance, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Keep in mind that Day One depends on the financial offerings of our faithful listeners. Please send your gift to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. We're always grateful for your help. And remember, to listen again to today's program, read the sermon transcript, search the sermon archives, and much more. Visit us online anytime at dayone.org. I'm Peter Wallace. Next week on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Robert W. Lee IV, author, speaker, minister, and public theologian based in Statesville, North Carolina. Rob's inspiring sermon is called Waiting on the World to Change. Be sure to join us next time on Day One. Thank you. Now, our Day One preacher, Doc Hollingsworth, offers some final reflections on his sermon, Because God is Not in Favor of Ignorance. And Doc, happy graduation season to you. You said in light of what's happening in many families at this time of year, Paul's call for repentance of human ignorance is timely. Ironically, as you pointed out, some Christian traditions avoid serious study and inquiry, but you and Paul here make the case that one of the ways we honor what it means to be made in the image of God is that we push ourselves to offer our very best gifts to bless the world, that is, to love God with our minds. Would you say more about why some Christians seem to prize a lack of education with their argument that all you need is the Word of God?
It has been one of the things I found confounding all my life, that it seems that ministry is the only profession that has pockets that applaud ignorance. Mm. Nobody would go to a lawyer who had not been to law school. Nobody would go to a doctor who had not been to med school. And yet, particularly in my Baptist tradition, there are pockets all over the place where folks are entrusting their spiritual care into an uneducated context. And I just have always found that confounding.
And on Paul's sightseeing tour in Athens, he visits all the shrines to the various Greek gods and finds one for an unknown god, an idol for any god they may have missed, or as you put it, the god of just in case. But you said our culture isn't that different from ancient Greece. We have all kinds of gods we worship instead of the one true God. How are those present-day idols so good at keeping us from a full relationship with God?
Well, interestingly, I preached on the Exodus passage this past Sunday about Aaron forming a shiny calf as a god. And one of the points I made Sunday is that those shiny idols demand nothing of us. They give, but the covenant relationship involves our being in covenant, being obedient. And so it's really attractive to follow shiny gods that don't ask anything of us. It's just a shallow life.
Doc, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will carry with them in the days ahead?
My hope is that we'll remember that the celebration of education that we rightly celebrate, these wonderful achievements of graduation and moving the tassel, is really only part of what it means to be fully alive, that wisdom and the pursuit of the heart of God is another part of what it means to form ourselves beyond the education and the books. So my hope is that we will clap loudly at graduation, but also recognize that that's only half of what we're after.
Doc Hollingsworth, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.